News Talk 1620 WTAW. Time to get an update on what's happening with the Bryan College Station Convention and Visitors Bureau. Shannon Overby is on hand, and this is sort of the beginning of the new year, I suppose. It's not the beginning of the calendar year, but it just seems with the start of the school year that sort of launches things for 2015-16.
It does. Our new fiscal year begins on October the 1st, actually, so we are right on the cusp.
And now everything is in place from a budgetary standpoint. You guys are ready to knock them dead once again.
It is. I mean, it was a very interesting budget process this year. We did ask for a relatively significant increase from both cities for our budget, but primarily all of that was geared for marketing. As you drive around our community, you certainly see all of the new hotels under construction. And in fact, when it's all said and done with in the next 12 months or so, we're going to have a total increase over the past 3 years of close to 32% in hotel room inventory in our community, which offers its own challenge in itself, but coupled that with the lower prices of oil and gas, and the decline in the oil and gas business in our community, a lot of the business that our hotels relied on during the week has all also left, leaving a hole. So we needed to kind of ramp things up and make some significant changes in the way that we market our destination.
You beat me to the punch on a couple of things. One, we have talked about the increase in room inventory. The 32% increase means from what to what in the physical number of rooms?
It looks like by the end of everything, we'll have over 5,200 hotel rooms. That counts all of those that are currently under construction right now or slated to start construction within the next couple of months. So it is a significant jump. I think that when I first started here, now granted that was 22 years ago, we had approximately 700 hotel rooms in our community. So it's been a huge increase.
And the point that you brought up about how busy everybody was during the recent uptick in oil and gas energy exploration and drilling activity, that really created the revenue that y'all and part are getting to be able to do what you mentioned as far as the additional marketing, because you know economic cycles are just that. They're going to be ups and downs.
Oh, exactly. We are funded. The hotel occupancy tax dollars in part funds our organization. So this current year that we're just wrapping up, total tax collection was just under $6 million in both Bryan and College Station, and the Convention and Visitors Bureau received roughly 28% of the collection. Now, for fiscal year 16, they're anticipating a conservative collection of $6.1 million in the two cities, and the CVB has been given 36% approximately of what is projected to be collected. So while we're not a percentage-based budget, we do kind of keep that in mind when we're looking for our funding. But yes, the increase that we asked for this year could primarily all be attributed to an increased level of marketing.
That's again the reason why you asked for the additional funding, is that you want those properties that to have been generating that $6 million in revenue to be able to continue doing that.
Oh, exactly. I always say it's not about cutting that pot of money into smaller pieces. It's about growing the pot of money bigger so that we can all be successful and bringing in more visitors to spend money to generate more tax dollars. So, absolutely.
Visiting with Shannon Overby at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and part of the hot money that is generated, again, goes towards marketing. The governments that administer the dollars, the two cities and the county, they're looking at spending some things on infrastructure, too, and it's really sort of a team approach. You have the attractions, and you have the rooms to be able to put people in them to enjoy the attractions.
Sure. And one thing that we were very successful in this year, this legislative session, is we got a bill passed that allows our community to build new sporting venues, sports facilities, to utilize for residents, but also for tournaments. And you can use hotel tax dollars to do that. The hotel tax dollars on the municipal level are very strictly state mandated on how they can be spent. And so anytime that we want to make a change to that law, we have to go through the state legislature. And we were successful in doing so this year. So you're right. The cities want to look at utilizing some of that hotel tax dollars that they collect in building some new sports facilities to hold more tournaments and also benefit the residents, but to bring in more tournaments and events. And I've always said, you know, we support that wholeheartedly. Sports is big business for our community, particularly youth and amateur sporting tournaments. But the old adage of if you build it, they will come, I believe is a complete fallacy. You really need to build it, but then you need to spend proportionate amounts of money to market the facilities to make sure that the visitors do know that it's there and you are able to use it for regional and statewide tournaments.
And as a follow-up, do you all get any sort of buzz when you hear that the city councils in the respective cities, for instance, are in the works and expanding things, even though they haven't been completed? Is that some of the ammunition that you can carry when you're trying to make pitches?
Absolutely. I mean, our community has got a good name for itself. I mean, Aggie Sports and Texas A&M and Aggie Football has put us on the market in that regard. But I think that we've really created, because we've held some great events in our community, Games of Texas, which we had for the past 2 years, and we've got them coming in a couple years again, 7-on-7, which we've been fortunate to have for many years. We lost them 1 year, but then once the synthetic fields were finished at Veterans Park, we were able to get them back. Soccer events, softball tournaments, all of these different things, I think, have really come to realize that Bryan College Station is a safe, affordable, easy-to-get-around community that has some attractions and things to do. And so we've already got a name out there for ourselves. There are some tournaments and events that we would love to hold here, but because we don't have the number of fields that they need in one location, or we haven't had that type of a tournament-grade facility available yet, that certainly has been kind of put on the back burner. So as those facilities are being built or expanded, then it's certainly something that we're able to partner with the Parks Department to go after and bring them here in the future.
And now that there's additional money to promote Bryan College Station, there's been some reporting about how that is being proposed. If you can give us the latest on that process.
Sure. Early on in the process, we created a community marketing committee, and it's made up of representatives from the city staff of Bryan, city staff of College Station, Brazos County, Texas A&M, Teeks, and a variety of other partners in the community. We worked together to send out an RFP, and we ultimately hired earlier this year Cubic Creative, which is a firm out of Tulsa. They came in and evaluated our community and kind of gave a feeling that they got of our community as they were wanting to move forward. There were some things that kind of got out into the community on three words and a logo, which were all kind of in draft form, just kind of some beginnings of conversations of how we were going to move forward, and they were misinterpreted. Well, we've come back around. We now are working through the marketing campaigns themselves, and we're working on the ad placements. But what the community marketing committee, which still meets every month, to help guide the messaging and the placements of all of our advertising campaigns. We've continued to retain Cubic to do what they do best, and that is negotiating ad placement, whether that be print ad, digital ad, television, radio, billboards, whatever, to negotiate those ad placements and then measure the success of all of those ad placements. That is their expertise, and we will continue to utilize them to measure everything. But we've also created this hybrid model, and we've hired a local creative firm called Drifting Creative that will be doing all of the creative work for us. So they'll be producing all of our collateral and the actual ads that are put into those mediums, and doing some photography and videography for us, creating new business cards and kind of moving forward with all of that. So it's kind of this hybrid model that we've got Drift Creative locally, Cubic Creative doing the ad placements, all being steered and monitored by the Community Marketing Committee, which is kind of all the players in the community. We want to make sure that we, you know, evaluate every ad as it's being created, and having a local firm do that for us so that we can sit across the table to discuss things rather than on a conference call makes it a lot easier. And then we also wanted to make sure that we had someone who was an expert in marketing and ad placement for destination type ads, and that would be Cubic Creative. And we want to make sure that we're monitoring and able to make changes as the market warrants or as we see things work better than other areas.
So when do we get a look at how we're going to be portrayed?
We are actually at 2 o'clock today. We had Cubic and Drift Creative had a conference call to kind of get started on the actual campaign, and then the Community Marketing Committee will flesh all that out in just a couple of weeks, and it'll start going out. Now, unfortunately, because of the way that we're funded and because of the way that we market, not a lot of the local people will see those efforts. They'll reap the benefits because they'll see the people coming into town, but by far the majority of our advertising is outside of this area. But it is certainly something that I think that we'll be able to share in one way or another with our community, because we certainly want the entire community to kind of be behind it and be ambassadors for us.
Visiting with Shannon Overby of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, how does this marketing go in tandem with the face-to-face contacts that you all at the CVB do when you hit all the various trade shows and functions regionally and nationally in attempting to draw folks here?
It certainly does not take the place of face-to-face contact. We have all found that one-on-one sales calls or trade shows and appointments with meeting planners and event planners, certainly building a relationship is key with these people. So it will not slow down on any of that. But we have found, and research shows, that it takes a number of touch points to a client. So we may meet a client at a trade show, and then we may send them an email, and then they may see an ad in a trade publication for Bryan College Station, and then they may receive a direct mail piece, and then they may see us at an event. So it may be several times it creates brand awareness, or it drives them to our website, or you know, there's a different metrics or different measurements for every aspect and everything that we do. So we certainly want to make sure that we're getting the highest return on every dollar, whether that is the money we spend on trade shows or and sales calls or ad placements. But it's certainly something that will go hand in hand and go tandem, and that is why we've hired this local creative firm to not only do the ads for us, but to create our collateral pieces, our brochures, and our meeting planners' guides that we're handing out so that they have a mirrored image to the look of our ads.
The marching orders to everyone in the CVB office is a combination of retaining and growing the existing accounts as well as establishing the new relationships?
Absolutely. I mean, sports has carried us for a number of years and continues to be a very big market for us. However, most sporting events are on the weekends, and there's only so many weekends in this community, and our hotels have vocalized that they don't need more business on the weekend. They need more business during the week. So while we will continue to maintain sports until such time as we have weekends coming available or more facilities to sell, we will maintain the level of marketing for sports so that we do still see that return. But where we'll see the most ramped up is going to be for the business traveler, for conventions, for meetings that could potentially use the preferred access agreement facilities on campus, the new Hall of Champions, the Zone Club, the MSC, Rudder Theater, Reed Arena, those type of facilities, and ones that would come in the middle of the week to fill those need times that were left because of the downturn in the oil and gas industry. So you'll see that we'll be ramping up for those types of groups, whether it's state association, education, religious conferences, corporate events, medical meetings, whatever, but you'll see a ramp up on that side of things and no slowdown by any means, but maintaining the same level of exposure for youth and amateur sports.
I was just wondering if there's a different mentality that goes into bringing, I don't know if this is the easiest way to separate the sports and spectator type of activities that are very public in nature versus, as you mentioned, the corporate functions and maybe things that are a little more private and more business and more functional.
There is. I mean, it's a different animal. I've been at the Bureau now for 22 years, and I first started out in convention sales, and I was in charge of the state association market. And when I've had to step over into a sports marketing role and go to some sports trade shows and stuff, it is very different. They look at a community completely different. They typically put more people in a hotel room, so they're more interested in all rooms having two double beds, where the corporate meetings, you know, it's a single person in, you know, on an expense account. So the sports teams like to go to places where large groups can eat for very inexpensive. And then the corporate planner looks for nicer restaurants, higher end mom and pop kind of places that are local. So the way that you market a community is a little bit different. But, you know, they're still all essentially looking for the same thing. They want to make sure that the community offers their attendees, whether they're playing on a field or they're here for a conference, they want to make sure that there's things for them to do when they're not playing or meeting so that they can get out and experience some of our attractions, our nightlife, our restaurants, shop in our retail establishments, and that sort of thing.
What are the challenges and opportunities that you see now that you didn't 22 years ago?
Well, I still see the need for increased air service. That's not something that I didn't see 22 years ago. It just is becoming more important, I think, over the years. Luckily, we've got a great group that are running the airport, that are very proactive in going after federal grants and marketing dollars, and we've worked very closely with Aston Aviation in getting marketing dollars for the airport. So I think you'll see some marketing happening, not just outside of our community to market this as a regional airport, but also internally to market to our residents to fly in and out of here. Because if we as residents fly in and out of Easterwood, that increases the number of people flying in and out, so there's a more of a probability that the two airlines that we currently have will add flights daily, and then we are looking at a third airline to bring in to go after maybe an East Coast destination.
What else is on the docket for the 2016 fiscal year?
You know, I mean, I think that other than being very aggressive and targeting and very strategic with our ad placements, we're continuing with the Hotel Occupancy Tax Grant program. That was a program that now is getting ready to start its third year. It's a program that we administer for the two cities, so it's not monies that are coming out of the Convention and Visitors Bureau operation budget, but rather from hotel occupancy taxes that both cities have unallocated currently. So it's a way for organizations to apply for a grant to hold an event, whether it's a sports tournament, a festival, a convention, anything, to apply for money to help them with marketing for that event. So we continue with that program. We mentioned the preferred access agreement with the agreement that we entered into with the university 2 years ago, giving $38 million essentially to Kyle Field redevelopment in exchange for them, first of all, not to take any seasons of football play out of our community and to rebuild the stadium in pieces, which they've done now and completed. But it also gave us access, preferred access to a number of facilities. I mentioned Reed Arena, Penberthy, the MSC, Rudder Theater, and then Kyle Field. And what's interesting about that is that we've had all of these other spaces, and they've been online for a while. The Zone Club, immediately after we signed this agreement, went offline because of the redevelopment of Kyle Field. It is now back online. And then, in addition, we've got the brand new Hall of Champions, which, if you haven't seen it, is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it is a fabulous facility. So we certainly are going to really be marketing that quite heavily as we look to people bringing things into our community, large events and meetings.
In fact, wouldn't that be an example of your corporate functions and other things that can help you during the week?
Absolutely. I read just recently, I think it was in USA Today, that A&M produces, it's the number two, I think behind Harvard, if I'm not mistaken, number two university that produces the most CEOs, COOs, and CFOs of Fortune 500 companies. Well, we need to get access to this, and this is going to be one of our biggest marketing campaigns, is marketing to the alumni, particularly those CEOs or people in upper management of Fortune 500 companies or large companies that could potentially, quote, bring it home. I mean, we joke that A&M is more than a school. It's kind of a cult. I mean, we all bleed maroon, and this is, you know, this is home for us. So we're going to have a very large campaign that is going to promote bring it home. Bring your meetings and conventions home. Let's show off what we've got here at Texas A&M and in Bryan College Station.
What else have I missed that we can look forward to from the CVB?
You know, I think that we've touched on the majority of it. I mean, you're going to see a lot more of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're going to be out and about, not just hitting the pavement and making those sales calls and appointments outside of our community, but we're going to be really in our community. I mean, we couldn't do this alone. The Bryan College Station Convention and Visitors Bureau is certainly in a unique position to where we don't own any assets. We don't control hotel rooms or meeting space or rates or dates that are available. So what we really have to do is really rely on our partners. It takes all of us working together to make us successful and make an impact on our community. And those partners are certainly not limited to, but they include both cities, Bryan and College Station, the parks departments in both cities, Brazos County, the Expo Complex, Texas A&M and Blinn College, all the meeting facilities and sports venues in our community, and the attractions that we've got here as well, and not to mention our hotel partners. We will all be working together cooperatively to advertise and market and our destination.
And to stay on top of things, hit the website, hit the social media.
Absolutely. Our website is visitaggieland.com, and certainly you can learn, even as a resident, learn a lot about what's going on in our community through Facebook or Twitter. Both are Visit Aggieland. So it's a great tool for us.
Shanton Overby with the Bryan College Station Convention and Visitors Bureau with us on News Talk 1620 WTAW.